Welcome to Poetry Basket, KIDE's monthly reading of poems from near and far. Today's selection come from England, Native America, the United States, and Uruguay. And we have Gwen O'Gara with us again, the Sonoma County Poet Laureate, who read her students' poems in May. Today, Gwen will be reading her own work.
Today's readings celebrate mothers. Our poems talk to the experience of being a mother. They speak of cherished mothers and grandmothers. And they honor the great mother of us all, Mother Earth. We're going to open with "Who is Your Mother?" by Paula Gunn Allen of Laguna Heritage. This is an excerpt from her book, The Sacred Hoop.
Who is your mother? At Laguna Pueblo in New Mexico, who is your mother is an important question. At Laguna, one of several of the ancient Kere societies of the region, your mother's identity is the key to your own identity. Among the Keres, every individual has a place within the universe, human and non-human. And that place is defined by clan membership. In turn, clan membership is dependent on matrilineal descent. Of course, your mother is not only that woman whose womb formed and released you. The term refers in every individual case to an entire generation of women whose psychic and consequently physical shape made the psychic existence of the following generation possible. But naming your own mother enables people to place you precisely within the universal web of your life, in each of its dimensions, cultural, spiritual, personal, and historical. Failure to know your mother, that is, your position and its attendant traditions, history, and place in the scheme of things, is failure to remember your significance, your reality, your right relationship to earth and society. It is the same as being lost, isolated, abandoned, self-estranged, and alienated from your own life.
Inés Hernández Avila is a poet of Nez Perce and Hispanic heritage. Here is her poem, Mother Song, which she included in an essay she titled An Open Letter to Chicanas on the Power and Politics of Origin.
Mother's Song. Don't cry, my daughter, little Indian girl child of my heart. Don't cry. Don't allow those rages to pass through you, so far into your soul that you lose yourself. You lose yourself.
She Was Telling It This Way is by Navajo poet Laura Tohi. In the introduction to this poem, Laura Tohi says the voices of her grandmothers and ancestors are part of the oral tradition from which she writes. Her poem has passages from the Diné language that we had to omit. We're reading her poem in two voices.
She was telling it this way. My mother, she was telling it this way. As we looked in the stores up and down Highway 66, we examined basket design and weaving.
The four points represent sacred mountains of the Diné. My grandmother told me that when first woman Altsi Atsan was making the first basket, she came to the end and wondered how she should finish it.
We look over the stacks, turning individual ones over. Earthy smells of sand, roots, plants, and water. we count each of the points and decide which are the most authentic, the best quality, tracing finger over the ridges, feeling the peaks of mountains and earth in basket form.
When you hang it, the opening should be placed upward.
My eye glides down the vertical opening, descends into the belly, into the womb of the earth.
That way good things will pass through the doorway. That way you'll not enclose yourself, your thoughts, your feelings. One should always have a doorway leading from their heart. You see, we cannot permit ourselves to be perfect, to lock up perfection in anything that we create, in weaving, making pottery, or even in making bread. We must allow for our imperfections. We must have a doorway.
A doorway to bring forth, in colors of red, black, and yellow, health, happiness, prosperity, life. The Diné woman behind the counter nods. We leave the store, into the afternoon light, brilliant, a basket securely at my breast.
Forked Tongues is next. It's by our guest poet, Gwyn O'Gara. Her poem is a sympathetic reflection on mothers raising children in nuclear families. It reveals how European heritage impacts the relationship of mother and child. It's a heritage that has replaced living oral traditions with written codes and their sometimes arbitrary dictates of behavior.
Forked Tongues. On summer nights, my mother weeded, shucking dandelions from the ground. She didn't glance at the stars, didn't look past the brim of her straw hat, the smoke of her ongoing cigarette. She wielded a wooden stick, tipped with metal, her only weapon, forked like a snake's tongue. She spoke two languages, one the party line of do's and don'ts, lies of decorum and denial, the opaque patois of the way things appear. Her other tongue was quiet, rare. She offered love with it, and like a bird, fed her young. She prowled the field, and I followed, never knowing which tongue she'd offer. Sensing, she wanted to be as far away as the stars, but jabbed instead, the weeds overrunning the lawn.
Old Great Grandma is a Navajo perspective on how indigenous heritage is passed down the generations. It was written by Nora Yazzie Hunter, who was born of the Red House and Saltwater clans, clans that connect her to earth and water.
Old Great Grandma. I drive a long stretch of dirt road where you herded your sheep and goats on horseback, and remember the small oasis where lambs were eaten by wet sand. I stop my car to take a last look around and remember the special place you reserved to hide us from the Mormons and the rest of them. The toys we made from rocks, sticks, and sand are still there, seasoned in time, wind, and rain. On this stretch of land that faces east, I raced as changing woman. You welcomed my return and molded me. My young daughters will race too someday, and know that your essence underneath their feet will welcome them. We return you to the earth as rain begins to sprinkle its blessings.
Here's a sweet poem that acknowledges a grandmother. It's titled Homesickness. It was written by Ngoc Minh Nguyen of San Francisco when he was 17.
Homesickness. Let me become wind to fly with the kite of childhood. Let me become sunshine to dance in my grandma's eyes. Let me become chalk to write with my teacher's hand. Let me become a fish to return to the ocean. Let me become a wild horse to run on the large highland.
Calling All Grandmothers by Alice Walker is next, the prize-winning African-American author of The Color Purple. Alice Walker speaks to all cultures in this poem.
Calling All Grandmothers. We have to live differently, or we will die in the same old ways. Therefore, I call on all grandmothers everywhere on the planet to rise and take your place in the leadership of the world. Come out of the kitchen, out of the fields, out of the beauty parlors, out of the television. Step forward and assume the role for which you were created, to lead humanity to health, happiness, and sanity. I call on all the grandmothers of Earth and every person who possesses the grandmother spirit of respect for life and protection of the young to rise and lead. And I call on all men of Earth to gracefully and gratefully stand aside and let them, let us do so.
Here's My Mother's Gift, which was written by our guest poet, Gwen O'Gara.
My Mother's Gift. When I was 12, my mother's chosen task was the transformation of my room. Gray and crimson swirls collided on the walls. It looked like it belonged to a dead person. My mother had a secret image in mind. A surprise. Her new marriage strained, stepchildren flipping, new house splayed in a magnitude of pomp and housework. Outside, dandelions studded the lawn. She shucked them with a metal prong. Her hands were full. Yet she scraped off every inch of that sad paper and the stained layers underneath. Sweating, cursing, smoking. Her forearm ached from the steady up and down. When I came back from a month riding horses and eating out with Daddy, I found a room with yellow walls and butterflies on the curtains. I danced in the new light, dreaming out the window, away from fighting voices. A stepsister with French antiques, a stepbrother with girly mags and a nasty tongue. I stretched with yellow butterflies out of my warped cocoon into the bright and welcoming sky.
Passing Through Me by Darcy Spencer is a delicate tribute to mother love. Darcy Spencer is a reporter in Washington, D.C.
Passing through me, I feel your wind going through my cheeks. I hear your soul going through my heart. I smell your recipes going through the kitchen. I see you inside butterflies. I taste the food you made. There is love passing through me.
We turn now to the Uruguayan writer Eduardo Galeano, whose work we've read many times on Poetry Basket. This little Galeano gem is titled Mother.
A sneaker, a love letter, signature illegible. 10 little pots with plastic flowers, 7 balloons in assorted colors. An eyeliner pencil, a glove, a cap, an old folder of Alan Ladd, 3 Ninja Turtles, a storybook, a maraca, 14 hairbrushes, and a few toy cars are part of the booty of a cat that lives and steals in the Abaneda neighborhood. Sleeking along rooftops and cornices, she steals for her son, who is paralyzed, and lives surrounded by these ill-gotten offerings.
Here is Birthday, a perspective on mothering from day one. The poet is Elise Pashan of Osage heritage, and her mother was the renowned prima ballerina Maria Tallchief.
Birthday. Armored in red, her voice commands every corner. Bells gong on squares in steeples answering the prayers. Bright tulips crown the boulevards. Pulled from the womb, she imitates that mythic kick from some god's head. She roars, and we are conquered. Her legs, set free, combat the air. Naked warrior, she is our own. Entire empires are overthrown.
And now, Gwen O'Gara will read an excerpt from her poem Vagabond Sky, in which she muses on the complexities that underlie day-to-day mothering.
Vagabond Sky. The housewife remembers the guinea pig must eat, folds the towel after rubbing her arm along its velvet crop. She dispenses her son's medicine, yet another antibiotic she's noticed the need for, making sure there's a cup of sweet juice to absolve the bitter. She mends a rend at his knee, wondering how she'll touch him when he's 16. She's already being scolded for kisses. 6. He wipes each smooch off his still soft skin. He tells her when he's done something naughty. He's that innocent. She can only give thanks, silently. He tells her when he's mad at her, and a shadow covers her like a bruise. Fewer and fewer are the casual leanings, the unannounced settlings into her lap. He's leaving soon. Kindergarten starts next week. So she hugs harder, kissing him despite his protest. The house overwhelms her some mornings, like her husband with his demanding appetites. The sun reveals one too many flecks of missed food. Her son urges, "Mom," one too many times. She remembers the wash, the dishes, errands, and gardening she forgot long enough to dream of solitude, Venice, work, as compelling as her husband, as demanding and satisfying as her child. This isn't the little apartment that sang with the sea. This is a house, rooted as the apple tree, solid enough for vacuuming and spider webs, a haven digging in, a burden, an end. Pressing a lavender spike between her fingers and sniffing, she thinks back to the little place they rented and left, its quick cleaning, the impossibly long stairs up to the view of boats and bay, the sense of traveling to new worlds the outlook gave them. Here she's under trees, sequestered beyond hedges, not sailing on a breeze. Animals come to her to be fed. Plants tended, thrive, attracting bees and butterflies. She knows to water down low, to leave her husband alone when he's fuming, to give her son warnings.
Next, The Blue Egg by Iris Dunkel, another story of mother and son. Iris Dunkel lives in Washington, D.C.
The Blue Egg. This morning, a great blue heron rose from the swamp, like the second coming. I'd never seen the high nests in the far-off trees until it rose. Green buds are pulsing out of the fingers of trees, and the long sleep is shaken from our bodies as we stumble back into the spotty light. All winter, in our borrowed home, my son has been collecting egg cartons. Every week he stores another cardboard carton beneath the sink. "For the chickens, Mama," he says. "When we raise chickens, we can sell the eggs." The sky sits above the trees. Blue is the heron. Blue is a dyed egg. Blue is a promise. When the bird rose this morning, he brought what was landbound, our hearts, our eyes, up to the possibility of sky.
My mother and I had a discussion one day. It's a poem by Denise Sweet of Anishinaabe Heritage. She muses on how the day-to-day of mothering unfolds from a daughter's perspective.
My mother and I had a discussion one day, and she said I was quite fortunate to have two sons. And I said, "How is that?" And she said, "With daughters, you worry for them. Birth control, child-rearing. You worry for them. The threat of rape. And there is the wedding expense." I looked into her tired eyes and clouded face and saw that she was quite serious. "Yes, but," I said, "boys eat more." And she said, "Why do they call it women's music?" And I said, "Because they sing it, take from it, feel good and strong when they walk away from it. While we sit here, this is going on." "Are you telling me," my mother said, "up until now I've been listening and no women have been singing?" And I said, "That is right." And she said that was ridiculous and hummed a tune of her own. And she said, "Why do you want to leave this house? It is a fine house." And I said, "I didn't think there was much of a market for a nose wiper, a kitchen keeper, and under the bed sweeper." And she said my smart mouth would get me in trouble one day. And I looked at her scarred knuckles and quivering chin and realized that I had spit in the face of many women, and I wept with my mother.
We Have a Beautiful Mother is next, a poem to the mother of us all by Alice Walker.
We have a beautiful mother. We have a beautiful mother. Her hills are buffaloes, her buffaloes hills. We have a beautiful mother. Her oceans are wombs, her wombs oceans. We have a beautiful mother. Her teeth, the white stones at the edge of the water, the summer grasses, her plentiful hair. We have a beautiful mother, her green lap immense, her brown embrace eternal, her blue body, everything we know.
We're going to close with Llamas, Land of Plenty by Rose Flynn. Llamas is the first harvest festival of the year in some English-speaking countries. It takes place on the 1st or 2nd of August and marks the midpoint between the summer solstice and the autumn equinox. Rose Flynn is a British poet.
Llamas, Land of Plenty. Mother Earth has laid open the veins of her riches, her bloodlines of mineral and gold, her powers of uranium and coal. She offers the spark and the blaze, all her energy for our choice, to destroy or create. And what do we give you, Great Mother, now? You are rising in harvests of fire, in the wealth of whirlwinds and the plunder of sand? What now as the sky tightens with crackles of lightning and the world's edges turn slowly to smoke? We shake ourselves out of our childish skins like fire snakes reborn in the heat. This is the time we've been growing towards when we can draw from our own abundance, our storehouse of knowledge filled to the rafters with green wisdom, ancient and modern, with understanding of balance and beauty, honoring Earth's many peoples, the web connecting all life. We are tall now, our hearts and spirits are strong. We work with will and intention, our hands linking each with each other. So begins the giving, giving back, bringing into being all that we learned from our mother, so the spiral of life may continue into the future. We give her Karuna, mother love. In our thousands, we are joining together to care for our Mother Earth's life with our own.
And that's it for Poetry Basket. Our thanks to Gwen O'Gara for sharing her poems with us today. Our readers were Sharon Bauer, Carol Goodale, Matthew Matskar, Florian McCovey, Cynthia Potten, Joseph Orozco, and Jay Renzulli. Poetry Basket was produced by Cynthia Potten and engineered by Joseph Orozco. Thank you for listening.